gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN. It still has free speech, and it's pretty hard to find. So while you still can, while we still have the means of processing your donation, go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, and send money while you still have the ability to do so, and while free speech is still a rare commodity. And go to the continually upgrading nationalbugle.com to download the continually relevant Co-Certified app. Co-Certified, it is an app that helps you lead a non-kosher certified lifestyle and so much more. And today is Monday. We have Mark Collett from Great Britain. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick. It's an absolute pleasure to be here, as always.
It is, and there's always too much to talk about. We had all sorts of things going
especially
on.
Especially at the moment.
Oh, God. So we've got the whole coronavirus thing. We had Trump's rally over the weekend.
I heard it wasn't well attended as well. I heard it was a bit of a little bit of underwhelming, to be honest.
Well, okay, just to start with a little review of it, I listened to the speech itself. I watched the speech, and it was, you know, Trump being Trump, which there's good and bad there, and he had some some good red meat for the I don't like to say the boomer crowd. How about for the MAGA crowd? And then he had some, there was a lot of what we've come to expect, which is his make-believe, you know, when Trump's in fantasy land, where Trump is saying that he's building a wall, where Trump is saying that he put down the riots using the National Guard. he said that, right? And then, of course,
the riots that haven't stopped and still continue to this day, and the riots that we're seeing footage of every single day with statues being pulled down, but he stopped.
Oh, he's protecting the statues. He's protecting the statues. And you know.
Do you think he actually... sorry to interrupt, because I hate being interrupted, so I shouldn't really do this.
Please interrupt me. I don't mind.
No, apologies to you and to your audience for this, but I've got to ask this, because it's an important interjection. Trump's obviously babbling complete nonsense. But my question to you is, Patrick, does he believe the nonsense?
I don't think he believes the nonsense. I don't. If he does, that's a little bit scary. But I really don't. I think he's been a showman for so long that he knows that he can say things and won't get called out on it by his fans. And,
but do you think his fans believe it then? Because that's the important
Yeah, I think a lot of his fans do believe it, because I talk to MAGA-type people, and they're always going on about all the great things that Trump is doing, and the media just won't give him credit for it.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that, and I know this wasn't really what we planned to talk about today, but I did send a tweet. I don't want to get into sort of bashing people who follow me on Twitter or anything, but I sent a tweet today about a statue that had been pulled down in America, and the mob attempted to string it up and hang it by its neck. Now, obviously, they failed because a statue is very, very heavy, and what they were stringing it up with simply broke. But I was looking through the comments on this particular tweet, and one of the top-rated comments was from a guy who was obviously... He's obviously a good-hearted guy, and as I said, I don't want to rag on this guy, but he turned around and he said, Trump is letting this go because he knows this sort of violence plays into his hand come the election. And then he got an answer from another guy who sarcastically wrote, so people are more likely to vote for a president that allows looting, vandalism and arson as for a strong, instead of a strong leader that puts a stop to this with a hard hand. And I thought that was a very, very funny tweet, because for me, I look at the violence that's going on and I think this is now harming Trump. At first I thought it would help Trump, and the reason I thought it would help Trump is because this kind of violence really does underline why you don't want Democrats in charge, why you don't want people who support BLM in charge of the country. However, and it's got to be stated, this was the time where Trump could have said, I have been Mr. Nice Guy. I've done X, Y, Z for the black community. I have never been a racist in my life. I've always been for giving everyone a fair crack of the whip based on ability rather than color of skin. But this has all been thrown back in my face. All of this has been thrown back in my face. It's been thrown back in the country's face. And all the good people who have supported me, who have supported an America which has a policy of opportunity for all, you're spitting in our faces now. And I'm the man who's putting my foot down and saying enough's enough. And he could have said that. And I think if he'd have said it in specifically the way I've said it, not word for word, but with exactly the same meaning and intent, I believe a lot of people would have supported him in him putting his foot down. But by not putting his foot down, how much longer can this go on when normal people are watching carnage, they're watching people having bricks thrown through the windows of their home, their stores looted and burned? How much can people carry on seeing all this? And Trump just saying, I did something, when blatant he's not. Now, his core supporters might clap like seals. They might stare at him adoringly on the stage as he claims he's saved America for the umpteenth time. But ultimately, will the voters think that? And that's the, you know, I am genuinely throwing that to you as a question. What do you think, Patrick? Because I think most voters who voted for Trump and aren't his hardcore supporters will look at what's gone on now and feel bitterly disappointed. Whether it means they'll vote Democrat, I don't know. But it could be a reason why they don't go out and vote at all. And I think this could lead to a voter apathy from the Trump side that sees hundreds of thousands or even millions of Trump voters just not bother voting again. Because on one hand, you'll have Biden or whoever replaces him taking the knee, and you'll have Trump who will just stand idly by as America burns.
Well, so here's the thing. You've got Trump who is, I mean, pretending that he's doing something when he's not. And then the other choice is Joe Biden, who clearly isn't going to make it through his term, who can't even read a 30-second scripted advertisement properly, and who is committed to having a woman, and it's going to be a black woman, it could be Kamala Harris, it could be Susan Rice, it could be a lot of people, but he's going to have some black woman as his vice president slash successor, somebody who is very likely, like you take Kamala Harris, who's the odds-on favorite right now. I mean, she's supporting all the Black Lives Matter stuff. She had been supporting, if you remember a year ago, the Jesse Smollett hoax, the obvious hoax. So when your choice is between somebody who pretends to oppose Black Lives Matter and somebody who openly supports Black Lives Matter, you know, there you go. And when I say pretends to oppose it, so there's two things about Trump and the events of this year. One, in his favor, is that his instincts have been right. His instincts were to downplay the coronavirus, which was better than what actually happened. And then with regards to the riots, his instincts were to call out the National Guard and put them down with force. Now, so you can say, well, okay, so he had Fauci and the rest of this medical establishment, which are off, at least Fauci is not somebody he even appointed, but they overruled his instincts. And, you know, here he is tweeting out, fire Fauci, in the middle of all this. He didn't fire Fauci. And then with regards to the military, he was overruled by his own military. Well, so if he actually fired Fauci and changed courses, if he actually fired Mark Esper and, you know, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, what is it, Dunford? If he actually fired these people who overruled him, then you could have more sympathy for him. But he just lets himself be overruled, and the same people are still in charge. And so you might, I have a little bit of sympathy that he had the right instincts, but that's as far as it can go, because he still has these same people in charge. Now, one last thing. I mean, they've impeached him over nothing. The president who got closest to being removed from office, the first president to be impeached, Andrew Johnson, what was he impeached over? That was Abraham Lincoln's successor, and this, we're talking 1867, the impeachment. And he was impeached for having dismissed his war secretary. And the Congress said, you're not allowed to dismiss your war secretary. And he came within one vote of being dismissed. Now, I don't expect that could be a rerun now, because it's been pretty well constitutionally established that he can dismiss his cabinet members. But at any rate, he is, what is the word for it? I mean, is he frozen with fear? He has actually decent instincts on these things, and yet to the extent he wants to act, he doesn't know what to do, and then he lets himself be overruled, and that's that. So he's absolutely ineffective. He's absolutely weak. All you can really give him credit for is filling up space that could be occupied by somebody more dangerous. And that's pretty much all you can give him credit for. But then again, there is some value there. Do you think?
Well, we've said before, I believe whether we've said it actually on this show or we've said it on another show, we've certainly said it in private before. Ultimately, now, Trump, as president, is probably the most polarizing figure that America could ever see elected. And although the Democrats, if they came to power, would not be a good thing for white interests, you may actually see a reduction in rioting, and you may actually see a reduction in social problems, simply because I believe if Trump was to get reelected, you would see record social disturbance. You would see things like you're seeing in the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone in Seattle, where essentially an armed militia have taken over and no one's removing them as of yet. But I think you could see that on a much more widespread level. And I think if Trump won the election, the Democrats, who weren't particularly conciliatory with him last time, and weren't willing to let things drop and move forward after he won fair and square, I think the Democrats could well, actually this time, be even less conciliatory and simply say, right, we've lost twice in a row. We've lost twice in a row to a man we utterly despise, and more or less say to their supporters, go ahead, loot, burn, smash, destroy the country. If that's what it takes, that's what we do, because we're not losing to him a second time.
Yeah, it's really hard to know how things are going to go. The election's 5 months out, and I think back to 1972, and that was when President Nixon was running for re-election. And he was, well, I guess I shouldn't say he personally, because he wasn't involved in the planning of the Watergate break-in, but people who worked for him were worried enough about his re-election chances that they broke into the headquarters of the Democratic National Committee in the Watergate Hotel in Washington, D.C. So they were worried about their re-election chances. When November 1972 came along, Nixon won 49 out of 50 states. It was a historic landslide. So he won a great landslide. He actually didn't have coattails. He didn't win either body of Congress. The Republicans continued to be a minority in Congress, but the president himself won a landslide. And then a year and a half later, he was impeached and removed from office. And so he went from being afraid for his reelection to having a historic landslide victory to being out on his ear all within about 2.5 years.
Yeah.
So you don't know what's going to happen. Trump because the Democrats are not offering an appealing alternative. I was driving down the road yesterday, and I saw a yard sign, and it said, any capable adult, 2020, which was a commentary on both Trump and Biden. So who knows what's going to happen, but... you know, the Democrats are their own worst enemy because they're going so extreme. Now,
But they have to. They have to go that extreme. They can't do anything else. You said they're their own worst enemy, but they can't do anything else. They've set a precedent of doing exactly what any particular vocal minority states. So when a large and very vocal minority, the black community, starts saying, right, this is our new list of demands. Honestly, what can the Democrats do? They can't turn around now and say, look, we're going back on this and we're actually not going to support these people. They have to stick by the precedent they've set. And I think they've set a very dangerous precedent, but it is a precedent. And what's more, we already know that at the height of African Americans voting Republican, we saw around 6% of African Americans actually voting Republican. And I believe the candidate who has been most embraced actually by African Americans is actually Donald Trump, which is the interesting thing. But he's taken 6%. Now, if he was to lose that 6%, well, that wouldn't be great. And maybe in some swing areas, that would actually be enough for him to be unseated, losing that African-American support. However, if the Democrats lost the 94% of African-Americans who vote for them, that would be a lot harder for them to stomach than it would for Donald Trump to lose the 6% of African-American support that he enjoys. And I think now the Democrats won't know what to do, because ultimately, and you've seen this in... I should imagine that Seattle is a Democrat-controlled area.
It is.
What do they do about the autonomous zone? When do they say, okay, this area is actually owned by, in some places, I'm sure, the state, in some places, private individuals, in some places, corporations. Those people have the right, and the state has the right, to reclaim the land that these people are occupying. Or do they just say, right, forevermore, this belongs to the mob? And at some time, the Democrats are either going to come out and say something which isn't going to please this mob, or they're going to try and please them forever, at which point they might hold on to their 94% of African-American voters, but they're not going to get many middle-of-the-road white voters or people who actually just believe in law and order on their side, which is going to be a very interesting thing. But where do they go? Because they're bending the knee constantly. But at some point, the demands of, I'll call them protesters, but in many cases they're rioters, criminals, at some point, their demands are going to be so great that can even the Democrats satisfy them all of the time?
No, the Democrats are building a... kind of a Frankenstein monster that will probably come back and destroy themselves. As for the autonomous zone in downtown Seattle, over the weekend you had a shooting. A black guy shoots another black guy after like a bunch of street fights and whatnot. And so the one black guy is there bleeding to death. And now all of a sudden the leader of Chaz wants he wants the paramedics in. Well, the paramedics can't go to a crime scene that hasn't been secured by the police, and the police aren't allowed in. And so there's this video that the Chaz guy himself took of him pleading, aggressively pleading with the paramedics to come in and save this guy. And, you know, they're not coming in without police security. And that's that. And the Chaz guy just says, okay, well, this brother's death is on you. Well, okay. Well, we're at... up at the break, we'll be right back.
Let's discuss more about this after the break,
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Back. So just before the break, we were talking about the unthinkable happening in Chaz, where actually, in spite of a zone free of police and free of white systemic racism, blacks actually killed each other. I thought all black violence was a result of white systemic racism. But your thoughts?
My thoughts, and this is, I find all this very interesting. My thoughts actually aren't about this killing. We know that the greatest threat to young black males is, in fact, other young black males. Young black males kill each other at an epidemic, really, because that's what it is. That is the cause of death for most young black males who die a violent death, die at the hands of another young black male. But the interesting thing about this is not only has the leader of the Chaz, so the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone, said that police aren't allowed in. Apparently, they're also kicking out white people for a day because they're saying that for a day at least, the zone just needs to be purely for people of colour. And again, I've talked about this on this very show where we've said it's becoming sort of a Haiti-style situation where the blacks and their collaborators at first were holding hands and talking about the wonderful new equality that was going to be brought about, but shortly after they talked about this wonderful new equality, what you've actually got is a situation where the whites are already becoming a hated minority. Mm. They've been taxed, they've been told that, you know, before they leave the zone, they must always give $10 to a person of color, and if they're not willing to give $10 and they think this is a bad thing, then they won't be able to help when they take the rest of the nation and start the wealth redistribution, because anyone who's not willing to do wealth redistribution by their own hand and has to be told to do it is somebody who isn't a real ally. So that will obviously be quite worrying for some. But now they've been told they have to leave for a day so that it can be a purely non-white zone, because the violence in there, obviously, even though it's black on black, is still somehow the fault of the white allies. And this is all very telling, because you can tell it is going to turn nasty. And you can also tell that when it does, you will see a spate of violence, first against white people and then amongst the people of colour, as they call themselves, who remain. And it's going to be we're going to see some very interesting times, but it's certainly going to be interesting in another way, because, as I said, when are the authorities going to say, well, actually, these buildings, these blocks, these businesses, they are actually owned by people who have property rights there? In your opinion, will the people in charge of Seattle actually move the Chaz occupiers on at any time, or will this be something that is just allowed to go on forever? And if it is allowed to go on forever by the state, will the business owners dare to upset the rioters and the occupiers by calling in their own private security?
So the Chaz is centered around a police precinct headquarters. I guess it's the East Precinct. And the chief of police in Seattle, who's a black woman, and she's made it clear that vacating that police precinct was not her idea. But in fact, she used to work in that building, and so she probably feels maybe a certain humiliation by having the place where she worked for so many years now taken over. I'm not saying she's a good police chief or anything, but it's clear that this is the mayor's decision, and the mayor is a white lady, and you know she has said with like a straight face that anybody who's never been to, you know, if you've never been to downtown Seattle, it's always been an autonomous zone. Right, because everybody is such a free spirit. It's always been an autonomous zone. So I don't expect the mayor of Seattle, who's in charge of the police, because it's, you know, it's not the FBI, it's not the Justice Department that's in charge of the police, it's not Donald Trump, it's the mayor of Seattle who's in charge of the Seattle police. I don't expect her to act on it ever.
Are there any shops and businesses, though, in that area, or is it just...
There are. I think there's bars and things. I think it's kind of a night spot. I've never been there, but I think it's kind of a night spot.
Are there any apartments? Because often in these inner city areas, some very wealthy people occupy penthouses and other property in those areas.
I don't know. There. I would think that if there's bars there may well be some apartments above bars. I just don't know. I should look into that. It's important. There are certainly businesses there. Whether there are residents there or not, I don't know. But there are certainly businesses there. And, the governor of Washington State, where Seattle is located, he is unlikely to act. Donald Trump could send in the National Guard, but he's been very paralyzed for reasons we've already discussed. So I think that if I was a betting man, I would just bet that they're going to let these people burn themselves out, because they're already starting to murder each other. It's degenerating, whatever. And we're up at the break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
My paradise completed.
Oh, lovely Leyland, yeah.
You are my dream.
And we're back. And I think sometimes this isn't the best parenting method, but sometimes a parent might let a kid eat all the candy he wants until he gets a bellyache and learns a lesson on his own. I don't think anybody in charge really is trying to give the Black Lives Matter people a lesson. But I think that's the most likely way that Chaz, for one, is going to, it'll fizzle out, because it's just going to become so awful that the whites are going to be, they're going to be thrilled at being kicked out for a day, and very few would come back. It must be just horrible conditions in there. But here's one other issue that's related. So over the past few weeks, Black Lives Matter, which is an organization, it has been receiving 8-figure donations from corporate America and from, you know, like rich people. Like, there's a singer named Rihanna or something. I'm sure you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah,
and I think she's given mega bucks. I think Michael Jordan and LeBron James are giving big donations. So they're getting 7- and 8-digit contributions. But corporate America, you look at the list of companies that have given 7- or 8-digit eight-figure donations, and it's the who's who of corporate America. So they are being infused.
Yeah, the most oppressed people in the world, yet the whole of corporate America kowtows to them, and at least half of the political system does exactly the same. It's a complete joke. It really does make you realize that, in fact, none of this is about oppression, because these people aren't oppressed. Everyone's oppressed.
Nobody's pushing. The only person in public life who's really pushing back is Tucker Carlson. He's the only one. And
yeah, Donald Trump isn't even really pushing back.
Donald Trump is pretending that he's pushing back, but, you know, he's only talking about the riots. He's talked about Antifa, but he hasn't talked about Black Lives Matter. He hasn't taken on Black Lives Matter, as far as I can tell.
Just out of interest, do you think him not pushing back is anything to do with his son-in-law? Do you think this is another case of Kushner sticking his beak in and trying to influence the situation?
Yeah. I mean, that's what has absolutely ruined Donald Trump's presidency is Ivanka and Jared. I mean, that's ruined. And I mean, I made a video of myself with a fake accent. It was supposed to be French. I don't know. About 15 months ago, saying that Ivanka, there's no Jared without Ivanka, and I was just making the point that she's ruined his presidency. She has ruined it. And I now that Trump is starting these rallies up, I do want people to go to the rallies. The one thing that we got out of the rally was, well, okay, it was the biggest gathering of white people in 3 months. You know, there's no NASCAR, where are they going to gather? So it was the biggest gathering of white people. What would be great would be to have a bunch of our people go and show up, and then at an opportune time start chanting Kushner out, Kushner out, Kushner out. Make the point. And that would be something. If his
that would be newsworthy as well.
It would be newsworthy if his own supporters are disrupting his rallies with Kushner out. How can the media not report on it? So,
well, it would be very interesting. It'd also be very interesting to see what his response was, because amongst his supporters, essentially, Kushner is quite hated, really, isn't he? And it's interesting to see that the one person he has remained loyal to throughout this entire sort of what I would call a disastrous tenure as president, he stayed loyal to one person and one person alone. And that one person has actually earned him more enemies and given him less sound advice than anybody else that you could possibly imagine. In fact, all the other people he sacked were probably actually doing him far more good than Jared Kushner ever has or ever will.
Well, I mean, so you take somebody like General Kelly, who had been originally his Homeland Security Homeland Security Secretary, it's a cabinet post, and then who moved over to be Chief of Staff. I forgot his first name. But Kelly, General Kelly. And General Kelly was refusing to give Jared Kushner a security clearance for the White House. And I guess Trump finally made him. But you've had these people like Steve Bannon, who Steve Bannon is a jerk, but even going back before the inauguration, Chris Christie, the former governor of New Jersey, who's a jerk too, but probably would have done Donald Trump's bidding rather than overriding him on things because of his own personal ambitions to become president. I think he would have done Trump's bidding as attorney general. But all these people, they've all lost power struggles or personality conflicts with Jared Kushner. Jared Kushner has gotten all of these people fired. And so I know that our people have wanted to come together. They wanted to have the Unite the Right rally. They wanted to have a rally. They wanted to come together for events. And it's proven to be a very bad idea for them. But I think to piggyback on a Donald Trump event, to go in, they can't be identified as alt-right or anything else. Or I guess they're already identified as white supremacist if you go to a Donald Trump rally. But there's no harm in that. Why don't our people, if you just get hundreds of our people into the Donald Trump event, and then they could start an effective chant, Kushner out, and there would be so much value in that. And
how much security does he have at one of those rallies? Would security be able to quell something like that?
If you had one person or two persons chanting, either nothing would happen, or maybe that person would be removed. But if you're going to have large numbers, even dozens, if it's dozens, are they going to come through on the news feeds? I don't know. They probably would if they picked their tune. Moment opportunely. When I was watching over the weekend, there was a point where Trump just stopped talking. He didn't say anything directly. Stopped talking and maybe took a couple steps back and from the podium. And I assume what was happening is some sort of heckler was being removed. So that happens.
He didn't look like he had many people there, to be fair, as well. I watched some of the footage. I saw some pictures, and it did seem to be pretty threadbare crowd, actually. I don't think it looked like the return of a hero or a really fantastic event. It seemed a long way away from those huge rallies in 2016, a long way away.
So originally it had been planned for a smaller venue, maybe a 10,000-seat venue, and there was this overwhelming request for tickets. And the way these things work is... the tickets don't guarantee you entry, and Trump, anybody on his list, and he's got these huge lists of potential supporters. You get a message saying, you know, click here and get your ticket, and you can click and you get a ticket. You download it, you print it out. It doesn't guarantee you entry, and so you can have. Huge numbers, and I've gone to a Trump rally, and not only did I not get in, but I was like, I was the person where the person before me got in, and then myself and my friends got up to the front of the line, and we were the ones who weren't let in, and then everybody behind us had to leave. But yeah, they do that, and it doesn't matter whether you have a ticket. So apparently, huge numbers of people downloaded tickets, and there are reports that some. Like J-pop groups, not J-pop, K-pop, the fans of Korean pop singers who aren't necessarily Trump supporters had ordered huge numbers of tickets, and some other anti-Trump people had ordered huge numbers of tickets, and then the organizers, feeling that they were going to be overwhelmed, moved to a larger venue. And and then people didn't show up, and there was a certain amount of trouble with counter demonstrators, but the fact of the matter is that it wasn't as well attended as it could have been. But there are going to be more, and also they had been expecting such a huge overflow crowd that there had been preparations made for Trump and Pence to make an appearance outdoors at the on some sort of overflow venue. And that got abruptly canceled. So, yeah, they were disappointed with the number of people who showed up. But these things, I mean, this is what he does. I'm sure he's going to have more of these. And it is important for people to show up. And we should be flooding them and starting chants. Jared Out is a good one.
But you obviously say he's not going to be happy with this. But will any of this be... Do you think anything would be a wake-up call to that man that he's handling this wrong, that he's made errors, or do you think nothing will wake him up?
He could wake up. And he watches Tucker's show, and on Friday, Tucker was, without mentioning Trump by name, but being vicious with the Republicans, saying how we elect the Republicans because we think that they're going to... protect us from this, and all the Republicans do is, they give tax breaks to their corporate cronies and start foreign wars that nobody wants, and that the Republicans are absolutely useless. And when when a crisis happens, they're nowhere to be seen. They don't protect us. In fact, they kowtow to Black Lives Matter, and it's clear that we need new leadership. We need new leaders. He said we need new leaders. Well, who's supposedly the leader? It's Donald Trump. Well, Donald Trump watched that, and so then Donald Trump tweeted out something and tagged or attempted to tag Tucker Carlson in the tweet.
What did he tweet?
That he had taken all these actions to stop the riots, which is, you know, a fantasy. He tweeted out his fantasy and tweeted it at Tucker. So Tucker's got his ear, and Tucker has altered Trump's behavior on Iran and on Syria in the past.
Well, I've got another question here then. Because in the past, he's turned on people like Ann Coulter.
Right.
And I'm a massive Ann Coulter fan. She's wonderful. But he has turned on her. He unceremoniously attacked her. I think he's unfollowed her on Twitter in one of his petty little sort of online spats with people who were formerly his supporters and formerly advocated for him until he let them down. Is Tucker, though, the final one? Is Tucker the one person in America? Because he's done it to Steve Bannon, he's done it to the lovely Ann Coulter. But is Tucker the only person that Trump realizes he can't lose? Because if he loses Tucker, like he's lost Ann Coulter, because I mean, Ann Coulter now just tears him to pieces on a regular basis. But if he does the same with Tucker, does even Donald realize that that would be the sort of the red line, the no-go area, the place that even he, as president, the mighty Donald Trump, can't go?
So Tucker by now has like 4 million nightly viewers. He's got the biggest show on TV, certainly the biggest news show, and some nights just the biggest show in general. And if
truly like the voice of the silent majority, then
yeah. And when you consider that. At least according to the way the votes are counted, and you can factor in whatever type of fraud you want, but the way the votes were counted, Trump, he was 2.7 million votes short of Hillary's total. He was 2.7 million votes behind Hillary in the popular vote. And there were these three states where, you know, he had some tens of thousands of votes between him and Hillary. If a sizable share of Tucker's viewers, all of whom would have voted for him, and all of whom are potential voters for Trump, if these people, if Tucker turns against Trump, and he's been very, very conscientious thus far in not attacking Trump directly. He attacks the Republicans, but he doesn't. And he has warned Trump that he will be viewed as Nero, the emperor, Roman emperor, who fiddled as Rome burned, if he doesn't act. So, yeah, with Tucker, two things. One is he's got more followers, and these are daily followers. These aren't people who just, you know, are looking at Twitter. These are people who are watching Tucker's presentations for a full hour every night. He's got enough that there's no way that Trump can win without Tucker's viewers. And then Tucker also has studiously avoided attacking Trump directly. He is trying to educate him. He is giving him tough love, but he's not attacking him directly. So we'll see. But Tucker's been the most effective person in altering Trump's behavior for the better.
Yes, and maybe Trump realizes that now he's on a very sticky wicket, and potentially Tucker is the one who will be the kingmaker. And it's quite interesting to see Donald Trump like this, because he's been very bullish with all his other former sort of supporters and allies, but he seems to have kind of come unstuck with Tucker. And I think now he might be actually realizing deep down somewhere, because he's not behaving like Donald Trump, is he? With Tucker Carlson, he isn't behaving as you'd expect Donald Trump to behave. So I would expect that somewhere deep down, somewhere in his psyche, buried away, he'd never admit it. He probably doesn't even admit it to his wife and his closest allies. But somewhere deep down, he now realizes that he needs someone else, and he doesn't have the sort of commanding majority that he once did, and that he has to a degree got himself into an unenviable position.
Yeah, you wonder if, to what extent his wife even still talks to him. I don't know. I mean, he never gave... the First Lady's office is occupied by Ivanka in the White House. So it's really a sad scene there. Okay, well...
So did he never give it to...
I don't think... No, I think Ivanka... I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's what it is. Okay, we'll be right back.
Tiny bubble. Make me happy, eat your hot lunch, make me feel fine. Tiny bubble, make me warm.
Hey, honey, I'm home.
I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
And we are back, and we just have a few minutes, but I want to comment a little bit on an article I saw. It's from a source that I'm not familiar with, but it seems legit. A Black Lives Matter leader says the group is developing highly trained military arm for the police. And this is by somebody named Adam Ford for an organization or a news outlet, DISRN, which I don't know, but I mean, I'm looking at their website and it seems like it's a professional organization. So that being as it may be, this article is claiming that they are using these hundreds of millions, probably well over $1 billion in money that's flooding in. What's the guy's name? Newsom, Hawk Newsom, the chairman of BLM's Greater New York chapter, said the organization has military special forces officers training and advising members who will patrol black communities and challenge law enforcement. So there you go, setting up a rival to the police that's going to be actively challenging the police in the cities. And this is where our money's going. And in some cases, you know, like if you have...
This is madness, isn't it? This is absolute madness. This is the kind of thing that will lead to clashes with the police, that will lead to more flaring up of trouble, which will lead to more violence, which will lead to more riots. You can absolutely straight away see where this is headed.
And
the people doing it are nothing more than Marxist, black Marxist agitators. That there is no doubt about that.
And I would say that if you've got shares in any of these companies, and we're talking about Apple, we're talking about like the whole list, go to the shareholder meeting and object. But shareholder meetings, they're going to be virtual now. So it's all very convenient. All of this coronavirus thing, you couldn't have had... this stuff couldn't have happened without the coronavirus shutdowns. Or maybe it could have, but it would have been transpired very differently. What do you think?
Well, it's all been, how can we say, a perfect storm? Is that the best way to say it? And I would say that what they're doing now is it'll be extreme provocation to the police. They will go out there, they will provoke the police. The police will react as you would expect them to react. And every time there is a reaction, you will see the media, the press, and the politicians, as well as social media influencers, celebrities, and other people on social media, all coming down on the side of this, what is basically a private sort of paramilitary group. But that will lead to a very interesting situation, because if the authorities don't back the police in any way, you could see mass walkouts.
Oh, yeah.
And if you see mass walkouts and you end up in a non-policed state, that would be something that would make me very nervous in Britain. However, in America, you do have a situation where firearm ownership is not only legal, but it is also the acceptable norm in many places. And I would say you are heading to a position where many people will be arming themselves and preparing for the worst. You're moving to a low-level civil war scenario.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we're moving to a situation where blacks are increasingly open carrying arms. I didn't think it was a very good example that was set during the lockdown when a dozen people or so with open carrying went into the Michigan State House. But it happened, and we're going to be seeing a lot more of that, but it's going to be black people with guns. What happens when they go out? I don't know what happens when they go out to the suburbs, but I know what happens when they go out to the countryside, because the country folk are a lot more badass than the city folk. Anyway, that is it for this week's show. Thank you so much for joining me, Mark.
Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure. I think we covered some really important issues. I look forward to seeing you next week for...
And everybody go to Mark Ollett's BitChute channel. BitChute channel, and see the great shows that he puts up there every week on Wednesday and Friday. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Public Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.